This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What the public will know and not know as the week goes on about the business dealings of soon-to-be President Trump and his team. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It will be a fire hose of news out of Washington this week, with the Senate holding hearings into at least seven nominees to the Trump cabinet. Some nominees may not have submitted their ethics paperwork ahead of those hearings, and the Independent Office of Government Ethics says it hasn't been able to finish some of its vetting. And on Wednesday, Donald Trump holds his first news conference since the election, where he could address his personal business plans. On the ethics beat at our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Republicans in the Senate want to get these hearings done in time for confirmation votes right after Inauguration Day. But the head of the Independent Office of Government Ethics complains his staff hasn't had enough time to finish reviews of some nominees. Norm Eisen was ambassador to Czechoslovakia under President Obama. He's now at the Brookings Institution.
It's actually required to provide these materials in advance, your Form 278, your financial disclosures, your ethics agreement that explains how you'll deal with your conflicts of interest, and yet a majority of these nominees have not done it.
Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Face the Nation over the weekend that no nominee will get an up or down confirmation vote until all the ethics and background checks are done. Eisen warns if that doesn't happen, there's a heightened chance some of Trump's appointees will face scrutiny and investigations once they're in office. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The stock market opened down in the North American time zones today, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average in early trading down about 50 points or 0.2%. Real data to shore up or erode some of those share prices comes later in the week, which is the start of so-called earnings season. It used to start with Alcoa Aluminum, but that's split into two companies, so they're not going to do it that way this time. Let's learn more from Julian Emanuel, Executive Director of U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So 'tis the season to find quarterly corporate profit results. Typically, we started with the aluminum company, Alcoa, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. That's what we did. Not this time.
Years and years and years, and precedent has ended. I think it is now going to give way to the beginning of earnings season, waiting till the end of the week when a slew of bank stocks report.
And you're going to watch those closely when the banks report results?
Yes, very closely, because the bank stocks have led the rally since the election, and the expectations for bank stock earnings growth are very, very strong, on the order of 21.5% year on year. So with the market moving as much as it has, we're not entirely certain that bank stocks are going to be the catalyst that gets you over that magic Dow 20,000 that everyone's been looking for the last couple of weeks.
In other words, the big rise in bank stocks, if in the Trump administration the sector, financial services, gets deregulated, that's been built in, and maybe it's a little overblown, you're saying?
Certainly in the near term. We still think that if there is the deregulation that we expect to materialize, that the group will work higher. But every now and then, a group needs to catch its breath, and we do think that financials will need to catch their breath at this point.
Julian Emanuel at UBS, thank you. Now to a state that's getting rid of the bail system for people accused of some lower-level crimes. New Jersey is worried about low-income people who sit for weeks and months in jail because of the cash flow challenge. A study found that nearly 2 out of 5 people in New Jersey jails were still there because they couldn't afford to pay to get out. WHYY's Joe Hernandez reports.
When cops arrested Jeanette Santiago in Camden in 2015, her bail was set at $700,000.
I just cried. I was like, I'm not going anywhere.
Santiago ended up pleading guilty to a felony drug possession charge and was sentenced to probation and time served. That was after she had already spent a year and a half in jail, unable to pay her bail. And for Santiago, a mother of two girls, it was a huge deal.
I missed 17 months of my children's lives, you know, birthdays and holidays and everything. You miss a lot.
Officials in New Jersey are trying to stop situations like Santiago's from happening in the future. They're getting rid of cash bail, which means judges will either hold a defendant who might pose a danger or a flight risk before their trial or release them for free. Alexander Shalom with the New Jersey ACLU says eliminating cash bail is really just logical.
We've had a system so far that has been based only on wealth. We want to keep dangerous people in, let non-dangerous people out, rather than keep poor people in and let rich people out.
And keeping people out of jail will also save money. But those who run New Jersey's trial courts say the savings will be outweighed by the costs of more frequent bail hearings and speedier trials. John Donadio runs the New Jersey Association of Counties.
We're going to have to hire new sheriff officers, new correction officers, new assistant prosecutors, make capital improvements to our court facilities and to some of our jails.
The elimination of cash bail is also going to lead to the elimination of bail bondsmen, like Ron Olzawi, who's been doing this for 45 years. Olzawi acknowledges he's got an incentive to criticize bail reform, but says getting rid of cash bail is bad policy.
You're dealing with people that have been in jail, they've been in prison, and they're there for a reason. They broke the law, and a lot of them are habitual because that's the only lifestyle they know.
So how much is this actually going to cost New Jersey? A few different studies have come to a few different conclusions. So on that point, the jury's still out. In Trenton, I'm Joe Hernandez for Marketplace.
And you know how what comes out of your paycheck for Social Security tops out at $118,500? Or so you thought. This year, the tax will still apply to earnings until you reach $127,200. For people in that bracket, it's another $540 a year. Why, you ask? Well, because the Social Security threshold is not based on inflation, which is low, but based on a basket of wages, which is on the rise. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.